Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Thanks for joining me today. This is Renee at Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could make it by today. I'm loving doing these mornings with everybody. This morning we're going to talk about Edward Snowden again. Why are we going to dredge him up again? Well, I'll tell you. Because every day I read more and more about what this young man did and what consequences he's eventually going to have to face. A lot of controversy over whether he was right or wrong. A lot of controversy over whether our government is right or wrong. Of course, everybody has an opinion. That's the funny part of things like this, when you only get part of the story, which is something that happens to us. We are not immersed in the middle of everything that's going on, so consequently, we only hear what everybody wants us to hear. But what I understand myself from a totally outside point of view is the fact that this young person, I think he's only 30 years old, made the decision to hand over documents that were not his to, first of all, give away, that were not his responsibility to do anything with except for monitor and pay attention. That was the job he took. Now, any place you've ever worked, I'm going to go way back to my days of waiting on table, like almost 50 years ago. And when I waited on table, it was nothing for me to see things being done by the people that owned the restaurants that I didn't think were exactly the right thing to do. Many, many times, I'll tell you the truth, many, many times. So what's the deal with this? Why is it, for some reason, we are passing judgment on this kid because he had real important stuff that he gave away, real important stuff, and stuff that it was not his responsibility to do? So here's what happened. He got involved and actually hurt our government, hurt us. It wasn't his right to do that, nor was it his responsibility. So there's quite an article this morning that he is involved in so many different things. And now he's in Russia and has some safety there for a little while. I don't know for how long. But he's safe there for right now. And the deal was he was going to go to Cuba. But Cuba isn't letting him in their gates either. So for me, it's about, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and does he deserve some kind of, he has to pay the piper for what he did. And again, I think there's a lot of people that are out there that are saying, hey, he was trying to protect his fellow man. He was trying to protect the rest of the citizens of the United States of America. Well, maybe. Often good intentions are misguided. Often. A lot more than anybody knows, I think. I know I've made those kind of mistakes myself. But like I said, there's been times when I've worked places, and as I grew older, I was working in a hotel one time, and there was a non-hostile takeover. And I was management, and I was told to lock all the doors when people from a bank came to try to get in. We were to sit in the offices with the doors locked and not let anybody in. Did I think that was right? No, I didn't. I didn't, but I said I'd do a job for these people. They told me what was going on, well, bits and pieces of what was going on. And then they said, okay, Renee, are you prepared to do this? And I said, sure, I can do this. And I did. So, again, he accepted a position, he accepted a job, and he didn't do it. Now, here's the latest thing that's out there. The Guardian is who... it's a newspaper. It's the first place that accepted all these leaks and all these all this paperwork from Snowden. Edward Snowden's revelations regarding highly sensitive U.S. techniques for gathering foreign intelligence continue roiling. I don't know what that word even means. Washington, and because Snowden combined elements of truth swirled together with paranoid speculation, outright lies, and pure hype, reviving a national discussion has been hard. Snowden's sympathizers and anti-American activists has so far largely controlled by his storyline. But that's changing. And with that, the likely tenor of the debate over whether Snowden is a hero or a traitor. Snowden initially violated his oath to safeguard the national security secrets entrusted to him by revealing national security agency programs, arguably affecting the privacy of U.S. citizens. The second wave of leaks, however, involved purported American cyber intelligence activities globally and against China. Snowden claimed there were more than 61,000 U.S. hacking operations globally, with hundreds of them directed at China and Hong Kong, and implied the existence of numerous other activities to surveil and counter Beijing's growing cyber warfare capabilities. So China's got to have him on a special list as well. Publicizing America's alleged intelligence collection programs against China may not be identical to Philip Agee revealing the identities of U.S. clandestine operatives, thereby endangering their lives. But it's close. We do not know yet whether Snowden jeopardized U.S. agents, but vital sources and methods of intelligence gathering and operations are clearly at risk. In cyber terms, this is akin to Benedict Arnold scheming to betray West Point's defenses to the British, thereby allowing them to seize a key American fortification, splitting the colonies geographically at a critical point during the American Revolution. That's an interesting equation. The political implications are grave. Snowden has given Beijing something it couldn't achieve on its own. Moral equivalence, that's important. That's important. Now China can portray itself as a victim, besieged by America and simply trying to defend itself. That's really not good, and I can see that, and I see that happening on smaller levels every day, between companies, even between people. We talk a lot about that in the bullying arena, about how often the bullier feels as though they're the victim. Now, this is on a much, much larger scale, but you see the likeness of this. You see how this is on a much, much, much bigger screen. That's exactly what's taking place. Snowden's initial leaks on NSA programs also caused substantial political harm, above and beyond the intelligence damage. Several European governments, which cooperated with the United States, are now predictably running for the tall grass, endangering the continuity of existing programs and damaging prospects for future cooperation. You know, when you put your trust in someone or something and jump in the pool with them, it's scary because sometimes You have to keep yourself afloat. You have to keep yourself from drowning. And you have to assume that the people that are in the pool with you are doing the same thing. So it's a joint effort. And hence, there's much better survival. It's when there's somebody swimming around the pool, grabbing a hold of your feet and pulling you under, or smacking you right on top of the head and putting you down deep in the water and not letting you come up for air. That's kind of what it's like in the arena of all these different countries. When we trust each other and can believe in each other and know that we are not out to hurt one another, the coexistence is much better, much, much better. As with the Bradley Manning WikiLeaks exposure of thousands of classified State Department and Pentagon cables, Europeans want to know why Washington can't protect sensitive information. Well, and well, they should want to know that. But Beijing does not deserve moral equivalence. Given the intensity of its cyber attacks against America, the key point is that China struck first, developing a pronounced asymmetric advantage. Military U.S. combat arms are far more vulnerable to attacks on their command and control information technology systems than are Beijing's more primitive capabilities. That may change as China's military becomes more sophisticated, but for now, offensive cyber capabilities are preferred Chinese strategy. Economically, cyber warfare is even more one-sided. An economist, Erwin Stelzer, recently said, America has lots of intellectual property that is worth stealing. China has very little. Again, you know, much bigger scale, but the same thing that we talk about every day as individuals and neighborhoods and towns and cities and states. By inaccurately elevating Beijing to moral equivalence with Washington, Snowden obscured this critical distinction, giving China political shelter. But what Americans should understand most importantly is what the China leaks reveal about Snowden. If he is lying about these programs, as in some of his earlier assertions about NSA's eavesdropping, that tells us something important about his character. And if he's telling the truth, revealing sensitive information about America, efforts to protect itself against the world's greatest cyber warfare power, that tells us even more about his character. Now, that's what I'm talking about, people. That's what I'm talking about. What is the deal with that? How can we, as a people, now trust anything that he's put out there? We can't. We can't. I have Shelley on my switchboard now. I'm going to leave this article. I couldn't copy it because it was too big, so I'm going to bring Shelley in so she can talk if she needs to while I'm reading. Good morning, Shel.
Good morning. Shelley? Can you hear me? I'm having problems with my phone. It should clear up in about 10 minutes. So it's
okay.
I'm in a better area.
Okay, so have you heard most of this article that I've been reading?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to keep doing it because it is very, very interesting. NSA activities against China do not even arguably violate the privacy of U.S. citizens. Let me read that again. NSA activities against China do not even arguably violate the privacy of U.S. citizens. Okay, that makes sense. Which is Snowden's supposedly high-minded motive for initially breaking his word, dishonorably and deceitfully. In fact, Snowden's unilateral decision to leak endangers the national security of 300 million other Americans. He didn't ask their views or their permission, and he has no democratic legitimacy, whatever. See, that's what I was afraid of when we first talked about this really early on. I talked about who he may have talked to, how he came to a decision to do something as off the wall as this whole thing. And now the more we dig into it, and of course this is with other people's points of view, but even still, my point of view is right there with him. I can't understand how anybody could do this, but the NSA's programs, at least, were approved by all three branches of our government, two elected by the people and the third populated by the first two. The founders only gave us three branches, and while far from perfect, they are at least ultimately accountable to America's real sovereigns, its citizens. Snowden is accountable only to his own self-importance, and that's what I was afraid of. And, of course, in so many different scenarios, that's exactly what leads people, is their, you know, what's in it for me. Moreover, the China leaks highlight gaps and inconsistencies in Snowden's legend, as invented identities are sometimes called. That's interesting. Before he made his run for China, he was acting alone, as he claims. Or was he acting partly as a vehicle for others in the intelligence community or in Congress, disgruntled and out to settle scores? Snowden denies previous ties to China's government or being Beijing's agent. Is this true or not? Or is he not now, both overtly and covertly, trying to bribe Beijing's authorities to secure asylum in China, contrary to his earlier smug comments about facing the consequences of his actions in America? Unfortunately, Snowden clearly has more information to reveal, causing more damage to the United States and its allies. But we know enough already to conclude that Snowden has betrayed his country and the trust his countrymen placed in him in sensitive positions of confidence in our intelligence community. So make no mistake, any American politician who now calls Snowden a hero is not fit to be entrusted with America's national security. So yesterday when I researched, I found lots of different articles, and they all are in the same line. I thought this was the most understandable and the most well-written, but they all have the same consensus. They're all, you know, claiming that this was a big mistake. But again, being who we are, I question, you know, we all do stupid things, let's face it, and this was a really stupid thing. But we have to maybe hope or have the assumption that when it started out, he thought he was doing some good. I don't know. What do you think, Shel?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I didn't until just then. I hear you now.
Yeah, I know. I'm having my antenna is going up and down. So you may lose me, but we'll talk until then. I mean, obviously, just based on some of the other information that's come out, it appears that there was some maybe some delusions of grandeur, or maybe he had some ties with, you know, like you said, with other countries where he felt that he was trying to put himself in a politically powerful position. Unfortunately, the only one who really knows the answer to those things is Snowden himself. He's not here. We're hearing a lot of conjecture from a lot of other sources, and it doesn't make sense that he did something so blatant. If he wanted to leak something to assist, this is what doesn't make sense to me about the assessment that you just read. If he was doing this in order to help China, then why didn't he leak it to China? Why did he leak it out on an open forum? This is what doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
There's still pieces of this puzzle we're not getting, and I'm very critical of the news media because they can spin things any way they want.
Absolutely.
I want to hear an uncut recording of Snowden saying what his reason for this. And maybe there is something not quite right about it. Maybe he has delusions of grandeur. Maybe it's nothing more sinister than that, where he felt that he was doing something in a heroic stance and it just backfired because it wasn't well thought out or something like that. I'm struggling with this whole connection to China thing that's being thrown out in the media now, because it doesn't even seem to fall in line with what his actions actually were. Because it wasn't clandestine, it wasn't behind the scenes. This was something blatantly done out in the open that he went to a newspaper to talk about. So how is that him being connected to China? I'm missing something here.
Well, apparently, from what the article said, is he tried. Now is what I'm picking up on. So now he's trying to find asylum. He's trying to find a kinship in another country. He's trying to find who makes him feel like he did the right thing. So since the United States of America, the citizens, didn't jump on a bandwagon and say, oh, my God, Ed, you saved our lives. Oh, my God, what's the matter with our government? And he didn't create that fiasco. I think he thought he was going to create that. I think he thought we as a public would feel indignant and you know, unsafe and, I don't know, maybe turn against our own selves. I don't know. But when that didn't happen and when he realized he had actually committed one of the most grievous acts through history in regard to the United States of America, which is treason, then he realized he was deep doo-doo. And then he ran for higher ground. And, of course, he's in Russia now, but that's not going to serve him for very long. Tried to get into Cuba. Cuba turned him away. And now, apparently, from what the article said, is the fact that he is – let me see if I can find that part. Activities against China do not even arguably violate the privacy of U.S. citizens, which is Snowden's supposedly high-minded motive for initially breaking his word, dishonorably and deceitfully. In fact, Snowden's unilateral decision to leak endangers the national security of 300 million other Americans. He didn't ask their views or their permission, and he has no democratic legitimacy whatsoever. And moreover, China leaks highlight gaps and inconsistencies in Snowden's legend. That's a word for these identities. Before he made his run for China, was he acting alone, as he claims, or was he acting partly as a vehicle for others in the intelligence community or in Congress, disgruntled and out to settle scores? Snowden denies previous ties to China's government or being Beijing's agent. Is this true or not? Or is he not now both overtly and covertly trying to bribe Beijing's authorities to secure asylum in China, contrary to his earlier comments about facing the consequences of his actions in America? So you see, he's looking for an ally. And now he's going to change everything and reinvent his personal truth, as we all have done before to get ourselves out of trouble, and that's what he's doing now. For me, the whole thing is not so much about the act itself, but a grown man, a 30-year-old man, who's immersed in this kind of a position. I would say a position of honor, a position of trust. An amazing place for a 30-year-old, don't you agree? I mean, to know those things and to be privy to that kind of information? I mean, that means somebody somewhere along the line, I guess he's a contractor, but nonetheless, he must have had to go through some kind of background checks and things like that, and people trusted him. And he took that trust and threw it to the first person with their arms up to catch it. I don't, you know, he actually, each and every one of us as individuals, he heard every one of us. Maybe not directly, maybe not something that's going to show today or tomorrow. We're not going to wake up with a black eye, but he heard us, because now we know that no matter what we do and no matter what kind of steps are taken to secure our safety, unless we're more careful about who the gatekeeper is, that's never going to be true. So that means, is there not anybody out there that could hold the key to the kingdom and not sell it to the highest bidder? That's what's scary to me. That's what's really scary.
And I struggle with that a little bit, too, because, and the reason I struggle with that is because of how critical these documents, you know, were, you know, some of the information that was leaked. And I find it hard to believe that nobody worked with, picked up, you know, watching somebody in a position with that kind of critical responsibility that didn't go through tons of screening. You know, I go back to the whole thing with FBI agents, okay? Because they go through a lot of analysis, they go through a lot of training, they go through a lot of psychological training, because they're going to be handling situations that are, that are secret and that require a lot of perception. You know, they have to be able to tell when they're being lied to. They have to, you know, so that their training is very extensive. So how do you take somebody and put them in a position like this, who's really nothing more than a glorified clerk, and then their sense of importance can take hold of them and run away with them? And, you know, and it sounds like this guy, he wasn't thinking things through properly.
Well, I mean, I think that goes without saying. He obviously wasn't thinking, and he didn't. When he was making the decision to do these things, if there was any time that ensued before he did it, or if he just walked in one morning and said, you know, I can't take this anymore, the world has to know what our government is doing, and handed it on. First thing he did was choose a questionable source of media. The Guardian is very similar to the National Enquirer, which I enjoy both of them, don't get me wrong, but they are open to taking what appears to be facts and not checking out their sources and printing it anyway for the notoriety and the, you know, the attention that's ensued after they do something like that. But the fact still remains that if he, Shelley, you and I are on a very small scale. We have a radio show that actually anywhere from 400 to 1,000 people listen to every show. Small beans, for sure. We talk about a lot of interesting and controversial subjects, from bullying to women's rights to yesterday, the very emotional reading of I Have a Dream, to the stuff about Snowden, to the stuff about mental illness. We've talked about a lot of things. Now, in digging up all these things and interviewing other people and talking to other people and getting input, incredibly important and was not common knowledge, wasn't printed all over the computer, was something I found out from a source from God knows where, and I talked about it on the show that you participate in with me, then, and found out later that, first of all, it wasn't true, and it hurt a whole bunch of people by me saying it, would you feel good about what I did, or would you feel as though I committed an act of treason?
Well, of course I wouldn't feel good about it.
Right.
You know, and you know, and I get that. I'm still struggling because I haven't heard Snowden's side of this whole thing. And I have seen in the past where the media has taken situations that a decade later surfaced very differently than the media portrayed it for years. I know of one, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I know of one such incident right now that was completely misrepresented in the media for almost a decade, and it took that long for what really happened, and the person that was blamed for the incident actually had nothing to do with it. So I'm struggling with the fact that I'm not hearing much from Snowden himself. The fact that he chose Russia to ally himself with and to be protected, even though it's only going to last for a year. I'm not even so sure if The Guardian did him justice, because I know that I requested to have an article done. I'm just not comfortable with a lot of the facts that are coming out because they don't make sense. If the only reason that he did what he did was either that he was in cahoots with somebody, all right, like China, but then why would he make it public? Why wouldn't he just be doing this behind the scenes and giving it to China? Okay, he went out publicly and did this. So a lot of the dots they're connecting don't make sense to me. And when something doesn't make sense to me, I keep questioning it. And the other thing is, if he was that unstable, if this was having nothing to do with him being a double agent or into espionage or all those kinds of activities, if this was just something that this man was suffering from delusions of grandeur, how did nobody he worked with see that he had that propensity? Because usually those people talk. And who was he talking to, and who else knew what he was about to do? I find it very, very unbelievable that he didn't mention this to anybody before he did it, that he wasn't talking to somebody about this, or that if he wasn't, that he was put into such a vulnerable position. And there, I agree with China. How do you put somebody who's not completely 100% verifiable as being really stable and trustworthy in that type of position? Shame on America, then, if we are putting people that don't go through rigid screening in those types of positions. So my struggle with this is that I think there's a lot more to the story that we're not hearing, and Snowden is being used as a fall guy for something that's really a bigger picture here. And that's my concern.
Well, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think there are, and I said that in the very beginning, and so did The Guardian in their article. What is the story? Is he the hero or is he a schmuck? They don't know either. They're trying to figure out who.
That's a good way of putting it.
You know, I mean, and, you know, as well as I know people, chances are he's both. Chances are,
yeah,
someplace in his heart, he wants to be a hero, and he wants to ride in on a white horse and save the day. But the other chances are that someplace in his misguided thought process, he made some mistakes. And again, that's why when you're going to do something, you know, I've told this story 100 times. And I'm going to tell it again because it seems so significant in a scenario like this. And that is the fact, with a very dear friend looking at me who would come into my office every day and ask me these little piddly things about, can we do this and can we do that? And I say, I have to think about it. And the one day she looks at me, she says, oh, my God, you do this with everything. I said, what? She says, I give you this little tiny problem and you hand me back this great big scenario. Is that what you do with everything? And I said, yes. And she goes, how can you do that? And I said, because the decisions that I make in here have repercussions on everybody that's here, not just you and not just me. So if you are not the type of person that knows that, and there's a lot of people out there that don't know that.
I think most don't know that.
I think most of us play really close to the chest, very close to our own little tiny nucleus, and they forget about the domino effect. They forget about the finger in the ocean, the ripple effect. They forget about all those things because they're concentrating on what's going to get them into a better place. And it doesn't mean that it comes from a bad place. It usually doesn't. If somebody's trying to fix something or change something, it's usually created from a place of caring. I don't disagree with that. And somewhere inside there, I think, albeit misguided, because this is big stuff, this isn't just telling your next-door neighbor that you saw her husband out with her best friend. This is turning over secrets of the strongest nation in the world and making us look like a bunch of buffoons. That's not good. And if there had only been a conversation with anybody who's grounded and has their head on straight, he'd have realized that. I don't know him. I've seen him on the TV. I cannot, the same as you, Shelley. I know that media, I mean, you know, I've had a lot to do with media.
Mm-hmm.
And they can either be absolutely wonderful or they can be real pains in the butt. So, yes, they could have enriched this story from a media point of view. Hands down, they could have done that and more than likely did do that because they're trying to sell papers and magazines.
Right.
But the fact remains that a really iffy, sketchy decision was made by one small 30-year-old man who was entrusted with a lot of secrets. And secrets, the word secret means is it's something you keep to yourself. A secret is not something that you put in a newspaper. That makes it no longer a secret. You know?
Right.
And I don't disagree with you, and I like that you're an advocate for him because you're afraid that we're not getting the whole story. But
no, I'm actually not an advocate. I don't want to be misunderstood with that. What I'm saying
okay.
is I'm uncomfortable because I don't think I'm seeing the bigger picture. So right now I'm remaining neutral. I don't have an opinion one way or the other about this guy, and I'm not camping on to the tone of the articles coming out because I'm not comfortable that I'm hearing enough information to make a decision as to whether or not he was a double agent, whether or not he was a nut, or whether or not he was working with somebody else and actually was trying to do something to be helpful and it didn't come out properly. I don't know what to think of him because I don't believe that I'm hearing all the facts. And that's my only issue. So I'm not aligning myself with Snowden. I'm saying that I'm not comfortable that I'm hearing everything in order to make an appropriate decision from.
Well, when I say you're an advocate for him, I don't mean that you're aligning yourself with him. I just mean that you're giving us another side of the story, which I'm big on. You know that.
Right.
And one of the things that make it fun to do the show with you, because many times we agree to disagree, and that's good. And I think that that's what we should do, to give everybody a different point of view. And I actually invited some of our listeners this morning on Facebook, but of course my Facebook page is not as big as it needs to be. I need to grow that and get some of our listeners on my Facebook page so that I can reach them easily. But I would love input from other people in regard to this, because different points of view are always fun to hear and always lend a different side to a story. But there are still some things that, for me, are right out there in the open. Number one is he did it and went on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox Network, went on all of those shows and said, yes, I did it, and I did it to save the American people, and I did it because I thought I should, and then he takes off. He started the music and then ran off the dance floor. And there's two ways you can look at that. One way is that he was scared and he realized that he was in trouble, and in order to save his own butt, he took off. Okay. That's survival mode. One is that he realized after the proverbial poop hit the fan that, oh my God, what have I done? And took off and tried to find some place safe and chose places that he thinks are our in
the
running. No, they're not our allies, and they're also in running for the top seat. And I can't think of the word I want to say right now, but they're at the front of the race right with us. So he chose.
It's like a power struggle. He's trying to see who's going to come out on top. I think that's
exactly
what he's trying to get at.
Yes. So what does that tell you about him? What does that tell you about him?
Well, it tells me that he's somewhat of an opportunist, that he's just trying to make sure that he if one way or the other he ends up in a good place when the dust settles, regardless of, I mean, if you're looking just at that specific action, then that would be somebody who wasn't really looking out for the welfare of other people because they're too concerned with making sure that they end up in a better place than they were. You know, not just okay, but here, let me align myself with who's going to be on top next. So it's kind of like his loyalties kind of go whichever way the wind is blowing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's what it tells me as well. And are those traits that you appreciate? Are those traits that you find to be small-minded and you know, not the kind of person you want sitting next to you on a fighting line? We talked about this in the very beginning.
Of course, there's no such thing as loyalty when it's you know, when it's unstable, when you're loyal to this person one day and then you're loyal to somebody else the next day because you think that that they're, you know, in a better position to help you or something like that. Loyalty is, the true sense of loyalty is that you stand by somebody no matter what's going on. If you're loyal to somebody, you're there in good times and in bad times. You're there when they've made mistakes. You stand by them. It doesn't mean that you condone them if they've made mistakes, but it means that you stand by them and you're supportive and you help them get through whatever they have to deal with now as a result of that, and then you're there in the good times as well, you know, to celebrate with them and to be part of their situation. It goes that way in business as well, you know. It's not just personal loyalty. But when you flip in and out, you're loyal to this country one day and you're loyal to another country another day because you think you could get more out of the situation, and then you're not loyal at all. You're not loyal to anybody. Because as soon as that second situation is not benefiting you, then you're going to find a third or you're going to bounce back to the first one. So a person like that, it can be very dangerous because you never know where they're coming from and you never know where someone who doesn't understand loyalty and doesn't, it's not in their nature, can never be trusted because you're never going to be able to really count on their decisions being solid, and you're never going to be able to count on them and following through with the right action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there you have it, folks. That's why she's one of my best friends, because she gets loyalty and she understands it. So, and for me, that's one of the most important things in this world. So, if I were going to meet with Edward Snowden today, and I'd have to try to analyze where he was coming from. And because I always try to find the best in people, I have to hope that this just got away from him. That he looked at something, looked at it at face. And made a decision to share it when he shouldn't have. And now he's in survival mode. But you see, like I said, he's going to all the places that he thinks he may have served in this decision. So whether or not he didn't think about that in the beginning, we probably will never know. Whether or not he realized what he was doing, if he really loves the United States of America, if he loves what we stand for, mistakes and flaws, etc., then maybe he, you know, maybe he's remorseful over the mistakes he made, and now he's, like I said, just in survival mode. This is all possible. I you know, it wouldn't be the first time. It certainly wouldn't. I've done it a million times, and I consider myself a pretty decent person, but I've made plenty of mistakes and plenty of poor decisions and said things that I shouldn't have said, and you just do, you know, especially if you're not thinking clearly and your emotions are in high gear. So, could be.
Right.
Could be. But after the fact, now he has an opportunity to kind of face the music instead of trying to find another place to hide. And he's not doing that. Now, I don't know if he's receiving any kind of guidance. There's nothing in any of the articles I read. I didn't find anything that said, you know, he's aligned himself with so-and-so and they're guiding him, or he's become, you know, he's still on an island of his own.
Yeah.
And he's not getting much, because now people are afraid, because if you align yourself with somebody like this, then you're looked at as a traitor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is you know,
in,
all
in
these
all
things
the articles,
that...
In all the articles, I apologize for interrupting.
All right.
In all the articles that you've been reading, have you come across any site or any blog or anything like that that's like force motive? And is there anybody out there actually saying that you know this isn't true and he did it for this reason? I mean, is there anybody out there like speaking up for this guy, or all the different articles about the fact that what he did was questionable, and now nobody trusts him, and he's a traitor, and all this. Did you ever come across anything from? I'd be curious as if you Googled, you know, is there anybody out there that thinks what Snow did was okay? I'm curious as if there's anybody from a reputable station, okay, not just some, you know, fanatic, but, you know, somebody who has a responsible job who can think this through politically, that would put a different spin on it.
Well, in the beginning, yes. In the beginning, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of talk about the fact that he was a hero. The first part of this article, it says, whatever his grandiose claims, the NSA leaker has betrayed his country by gifting China moral equivalence for its cyber warfare. Edward Snowden's revelations regarding highly sensitive U.S. techniques for gathering foreign intelligence continue roiling Washington. And because Snowden combined elements...
That's why I have to stop you, because I, and maybe because I wasn't following it in the beginning, I didn't catch this, but I thought he leaked about the government basically spying on U.S. citizens. How did it get to involve China? At what point did that happen? Because I never heard that in the beginning.
I don't
remember that being an issue in the beginning.
It wasn't. It wasn't in the very beginning, but that's how it snowballed into all these different things. And, of course, now they've been able, probably, I haven't seen this written, let me make that very clear, but my assumption was that now they've been able to look through some of the information that was actually leaked. And he said that there were more than 61,000 U.S. hacking operations globally, with hundreds of them directed at China and Hong Kong. So when that actually was acknowledged or looked at, could have been in the very beginning, but in the very beginning they took the most hazardous to our specific health comments, which was, you know, leaked all the secrets, and now America isn't safe because now the people that are plotting against us, that may be our next-door neighbor, know that it's out there. So now they have the opportunity to switch gears and hide again, or, you know, dig deeper into the sand so that nobody knows that they're here. That's what I got from the original reports. But now it appears as though, and of course this makes sense, that it's these big countries that are in competition with us. But he's trying to sell to the highest bidder, which is what demeans his character for me.
Right, but if he was selling to the highest bidder, then why is he in trouble? I don't know. There's something big missing in this story, because if he was doing some of the things they're purporting, he would have had protection. He would have had somebody to go to. The fact that he ended up fleeing the way he did shows that he wasn't in contact with anybody specific that was benefiting from his information. So let's put it this way. His actions after the math are more in line with somebody who was trying to get something out that they thought the American public needed to hear, rather than somebody who was a double agent or involved in espionage. Because
yeah, well, there's no talk about that. There's no talk about that. I'm saying, and that's what I said in the very beginning, this is all, he's like clinging to the side of the hole that he's fallen in, Shell. He's grabbing at straws. So now if China protects him, he'll be safe. Because
yeah.
China will look at him as a hero if he can sell to China the fact that, you know, he's got information or he can do this for them or he can do that for them, then for sure he would absolutely be a traitor, considered a traitor. But he wouldn't care because he'd be safe in China.
The other thing I'm trying to wrap my brain around is that I can see him leaking to the American public that our own government is spying on us, even like our personal emails and phones like that, because that would be a little unsettling to the American public, and it was, and although a lot of us already realize that's going on, that is something that's like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, it would be something that the American people would kind of rally against and say, you know, quit it. Quit eavesdropping on normal everyday citizens. But for him to put it out there that we have, you know, like secret surveillance operations in other countries, first of all, you can go to the movies any day of the week and see a movie that shows that. There's TV shows on every day of the week that show covert operations of our government against other governments. So it's not like the American people don't already know that's happening. Now, if he gave up specific operatives and locations, that's hazardous. But just saying that there's 67 operations where we're spying on China, if China doesn't already know that, then they're not paying attention. So again, how does that really put the United States in any kind of jeopardy unless he actually leaks specific operations and specific operatives, thereby putting those people in jeopardy? And I haven't heard anything along those lines. But just to say that there is so many operations going on, well, I think anybody who's paying attention realizes that. We don't know specifically what they are and who they are and where they are, but we know that that goes on, and we know that the other countries are doing it back to us. So it's like, what was the big secret? So what's the big leak if that's all he said? And if he leaked more than that, then why aren't we hearing those details? That's why I'm saying I'm uncomfortable with the media's handling of this, because they're throwing these things out for sensationalism, but when you take it a step further, if he really did leak something like that, the only way it could harm us is if he put specifics out, and then he would be making individual people that are out in the field in danger or locations in danger, and they're not saying that. So if he makes a general comment, I don't see how that does affect our national security. Because I think most people that are paying attention realize this stuff is going on anyway. So what's the big deal? It's like he leaked a secret that wasn't really a secret.
Yes, but let me say this, and everything you're saying is true, but I would say to you that it's probably not actual, because really what harms us is the fact that he did it at all. Because now people are going to make assumptions. Not everybody is going to wait for the truth like you're saying you're looking for. They're going to run with the ball. That's what makes it dangerous. It's just like when something terrible happens and everybody, I mean, how many movies have you watched where there's a virus released and they say, oh, don't tell the public. Everybody will go crazy. They'll start looting and stealing and killing and everything will go chaotic, right?
Right.
Because, and that's what happened here. It's not about the points. It's about the leak, period. It's about the fact that he opened up and said something that was supposed to be kept private. I will tell you this, in some of my research, I found a clip, Snowden's father, don't release any more information. There's even a... Snowden. There's a video Snowden telling that the United States has destroyed his chance of a fair trial. And but his father, in particular, has asked him to quit leaking, quit talking, quit saying anything about anything. You know, shut up. Snowden's father asks him to stop leaking. Snowden's father don't release any more information, and they made a video of him asking him to stop doing that. But the point is that, and how many times have we talked about this show? People don't necessarily look for the truth. They just jump on the bandwagon when, you know, when they just hear bits and pieces of something. I wish, I ask for, I desire, I talk about this all the time for people to get the rest of the story. They do not. You and I both know that. They do not. Mm-hmm. We're down to only 3 minutes, and I did want to put something out there because we're going to talk about this week, and I want people to start thinking about it, including you, Shell. And that is the fact that there's been another 13-year-old beating on a school bus here in Pinellas County in Florida, and the bus driver is under all kinds of ridicule and judgmental comments and everything because he didn't get involved. Now, the kids that beat up the 13-year-old, according to the video that I watched, were quite big. They don't talk about how old they are, but they whooped the crap out of this kid. And it's, what, maybe the sixth or seventh bus beating that we've talked about on the show this year?
Wow.
And now the controversy is how much involved is a bus driver supposed to get? Bus drivers are usually retirees or women, people that only want to work part-time and get up early in the morning and go pick up all the kids at the bus stops, take them to school, then they have the rest of the day off, and then they go pick up the kids from school and take them home. That's their job. That's probably a 20-hour-a-week job or something like that, maybe a 30-hour-a-week job. I don't know. I've never been a bus driver. But I do know that driving a bus is a job in itself. Babysitting and driving a bus is two jobs. And certainly being a referee, a babysitter, and driving a bus is three jobs. So interesting point of view, Spike and I, my husband and I, talked about this morning when we watched this video on the early news, was the fact that there needs to be something. I said, why haven't they, at the very least, given the bus driver pepper spray? So he doesn't have to have an altercation. He can just subdue the aggressive ones immediately. And my husband said he always thought that when terrorists or someone was hijacking an airplane, he always thought it would be smart to have an airtight cabin for the pilot and be able to release a gas that puts everybody to sleep on an airplane. I thought, what a great idea. So we're going to talk about this tomorrow on the show because I think that this is important and we need to maybe give some ideas on what would keep the bus driver safe, but also the child that's getting the crap beat out of them safe as well. And if you've got 3 to 5 kids and you're 60-something years old and not in great shape because all you do for exercise is drive a bus, that's not a good place to be in. And so what's going to end up happening is people won't want to drive the buses anymore. So there has to be an answer to this. So I think we'll discuss this tomorrow in the morning, and I will do some research and see what kind of stuff is going on out there and what other people are talking about in regard to this. But for today, I see the sun shining through my skylight and through my window here in my office. It looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day, probably some rain in the middle of the day. Shocking, I know, but I was wet 3 times yesterday. But have a beautiful, beautiful day, and make it the kind of day that keeps you in a good place and keeps you happy and keeps you knowing that you're doing the right things. So thanks, Shell. I will talk to you later. You're on the show in the morning, right? You're not going away, are you, Gadabout?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. All right. So Bye, everybody. Have a great, great day. God bless. Bye, Shell.
Bye, Reen. Bye, everyone. Have a great day.